psalmist dealing with Israel. Remember, we've been talking to you about Israel for some time. Israel's war. The war that's still going on and people still dying. Things being said about Israel that just is not so. And just remember this. God's time clock is Israel. It's not America. It's not Iran. It's not Egypt. It's not Russia. It is Israel. And when God established the nation of Israel, He established it for to be an everlasting nation and promised them that it would be that way. But rather than being what they should have been, they went their own way, made their own gods. And God promised to punish them if they did so, and He promised to drive them out of the land, scatter them throughout the creation in reality. But then at the same time, He promised to gather them back. And the promise that He would make a great nation out of these people is still out there. Now, I am convinced that in 1948, the beginning, the cornerstone of that nation was laid. And I don't think we'll ever see Israel out of the land again. I believe God has put her there. Things are beginning to happen that has been listed for us in prophecy. Amen. The land is blooming again. How about that? Amen. If you've ever been to Israel, you wonder how they could grow anything but rocks and sand. But God has so fixed that soil that all it needs is a little water and a seed, and lo and behold, it becomes an enormous plant rather than just a small thing. I saw some of the cabbage the other day, and they was hauling it in a wheelbarrow. How about that? I barred my wife from ever frying cabbage in my house. If I live there, cabbage does not live there. Now, I love it raw. Yeah. Give me a salt shaker and a head of cabbage and I'm happy. But that stuff's frying my soul. You may as well move in a covey of skunks as far as I'm concerned. But when I saw that head of cabbage, I said, somebody's going to suffer tonight. For sure. But it's an amazing thing how that land has laid there waste all these years. But that's a blessing to the land. Amen. Because it gathers all of the minerals. And all it needs then is seed and water. And lo and behold, you have a garden. Is that not amazing? Is that not amazing? The psalmist in Psalm 102. Watch how this thing says, thou shalt arise and have mercy upon Zion. Now when God refers to Zion, He's referring not just to the hill of Zion, but to Israel. So God is going to bless Israel, as is noted further on, for the time to favor her, yea, the set time. What's that next two words? Is come. Is come. Not going to come. Is come. Next verse. For the servants take pleasure in her stones. There's a lot of pleasure then if we're going to take pleasure in stone. A lot of pleasure to be had in Judah. Those stones. And favor the dust thereof. Now there's the thing that I'm telling you and talked to you about a while ago. God so blesses the dust that the dust becomes so fertile that the land becomes the Garden of Eden again. Amen. The heathen shall fear the name of the Lord, and all the kings of the earth thy glory. The day is coming. Thank you and be seated. The day is coming when every nation under the sun will bow before the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Right. Now, I know this is hard for us to understand, recognizing the circumstance that we're seeing tonight, but the day is coming when the Lord Jesus Christ is going to create a land, His favored land, that will literally be the Garden of Eden again. Give me the next verse. I want you to just take note with me tonight as I try to develop this thing and show you how God is going to bless Israel. Thus saith the Lord God, this is Jerusalem. You ought to underscore that in your Bible, that little phrase, this is Jerusalem. I have set it in the midst of the nations and countries that are round about her, in the midst of the nations. I once had a map of the world, and in Jerusalem, I had a pin and a string on that pin. And you could take that string and go all the way around that map, and guess where the center was? In Jerusalem. The city of God, Jerusalem itself, the very center. Now, there was no way for the prophet to be able to know that other than the Holy Ghost telling him that. They had no cameras in space that they could look down on it. There was no kind of instrument that they could use to recognize the center of the earth. But God said to the prophet, this is my land, and I've put it in the center of the earth. We wonder often why so many people despise Israel. Now, I've said it to you before. It is because they despise Israel's God. There's no reason for them to have an inherent hatred for the Jew. The Jew's been a blessing to every people they've come in contact with. For every nation, the Jews have had a settlement in. That settlement has been a blessing to that nation. Amen. They've gathered wealth, and for the most part, every one of those nations have stolen that wealth. Come up with some kind of lie that they could use to steal their wealth. And now, instead of that nation being blessed, they're cursed. I missed something the other night when I was speaking to you about England. When in the 20s, when the Balfour Declaration was signed, and they left those Jews in those cargo ships to die, literally starved to death and thirst to death in those cargo ships. You see, they'd loaded them up in order to take them back to Israel. So they took them back to the coast of Israel, too far off for them to swim. Now, some did make it to land, but they wouldn't let them leave the ship. And they died there. The ones that they sent to Miami, almost 1,000 Jews on that ship they sent to the port of Miami, and the president wouldn't allow them to leave the boat Mr. Roosevelt, the one that everybody seems to want to praise. You just don't know everything about Mr. Roosevelt. You wouldn't praise him as much as you would as you have. But Mr. Roosevelt wouldn't let them leave the ship, so they went back and sent them back to Germany. Are you listening? And majority of them died in the gas chambers in Germany. Now, do you think Israel or America is going to be blessed for this little motion? Oh, no. But God blesses the nation that blesses Israel. And he curses the nations that curse Israel. You don't have a choice in the matter. Do you understand that? The nation has no choice in the matter. God said he was going to curse the nation that cursed Israel. So they're cursed. Every nation under the sun that has cursed Israel has become a second-rank nation. Up until just a few decades ago, there was a nation whose properties surrounded the globe. Could anyone guess what that nation was? England. I ask you tonight, take a look at England. Now, why do you think England's in the ship in the shape they're in tonight? Because they cursed Israel. It's not the nation it was a few decades ago. The most powerful nation under the sun ruled the seas. But when they cursed Israel, their power began to diminish. And tonight, England is a second-rate nation. No one goes to England to ask them, what do you think about this? And the only claim to fame they have right now is that their ruler is one of these tree huggers, and he makes a statement every once in a while that's just as dumb as a rock, and it makes the news. It's about all you hear about it, isn't it? What great thing has England done in the last 45 years? N-O-T-H-I-N-G. Not one thing. Wonder why. When once she was the major nation of the world, rule the high seas. But tonight they couldn't even rule Watauga Lake. That's sad, isn't it? The nations hate Israel because God has made her the center of the earth. God blessed her and is still blessing her and will bring her back to the glory even more so than she had in Solomon's day. What a blessing to look forward to. What a tremendous blessing to look forward to. So God's made her the center of the nations. When you take your map and just look at it and look at the center of that map, guess where you're going to come up with? We'll bring you to Israel. But Israel is actually the center of the earth. Now stop with me and think. If it's the center of the earth, let's make a wheel out of this thing. If it's the center, where does the action take place on a wheel? In the center. If the center is not right, it's not right anywhere else. I mean, it can wobble out here somewhere, but if the center's right, so everything then revolves around Israel. Everything. The most popular city in the world just happens to be Jerusalem, not New York City, not Miami, Florida. I could call city after city tonight, and your mind no doubt could go there as to what you know of it. But the nation and the city that God has chosen is Jerusalem. And Jerusalem is the most popular city in all of the world. The most popular city in the Word of God. And you're going to find out it's the most popular city in the news media today. Now why? Just think with me for a moment. Why? Because God chose Israel. And God put his name in Jerusalem. That's pretty simple, isn't it? God chose Jerusalem to put His name there. Now that's an amazing thing. Time and time again, the Word of God declares that very thing. I have chosen Jerusalem to put My name there. Over and over, put My name there. That then makes it the most popular city in the world because God chose it to be His city. Now Jerusalem lay for centuries as a heap. Varmints running in and out of the city, what was left of it. Peasantry rule. And the world looked at that and said, well, maybe God meant for Rome to be the center of the world. Wonder where that would come from. They tried to move the center, the place where God said His name would be there, tried to move it to Rome. I've never been to Italy that I didn't want to fight from the time my feet touched the ground until I left there. And I don't really know why. How many times have I told you that? Yeah, a bunch. It just irritates me to be there. We were on a tour bus one time going through town, and there was a foundation there, and the weeds were higher than the foundation. And one of the folks on the tour bus said, Brother Larry, what's that? Because they want to know what everything is. And I said, well, to tell you the truth, it was going to be a monument for bravery for their soldiers. But they didn't have any, so they had to stop building the thing. That guy looked at me like he could kill me. And I just looked right back at him. I don't like the place. Now, I don't know why I don't like the place, except I don't like the people in the place. I don't like the food in the place. Are you listening to me? Don't go to Italy and try to eat a pizza. You'll be one more sick varmint before you get the third piece in your mouth. Don't try to eat spaghetti there. You know, they tell us all this stuff comes from there. It may, but it sure has been refined in America. It's been fixed to where it can actually be devoured in America. I'm just telling you this to tell you there are reasons why. But let me tell you the real reason why. Satan's church dwells there. I don't like Salt Lake City. Satan's church dwells there. Let me just come a little closer. I don't like Cleveland, Tennessee, though I've preached there for years, every year. You know why? Because the devil's church is there. I could go on. Nashville the same way. Oh, buddy, are we close to home now? Now we're talking about Southern Baptist, huh? I don't like Nashville. I wish that nothing but country music came out of Nashville. It'd be a whole lot more spiritual than the literature that comes out of Nashville for the church. I just said something that hair-lipped some folk. Sure, it's the truth. I mean, when you start mutilating the Word of God, huh, and then feeding it to people, as it were the Word of God, and when you make up your mind that you don't need to follow the Word of God when it comes to the leadership in the church, I could stay here a while. So I don't like Nashville. I was born in Tennessee, lived in Tennessee except for about 50 years of my life. It's not God's city. Are you listening to me? It's not God's city. It's not God's chosen land. I've said time and time again, these hills of East Tennessee and Western North Carolina are the most beautiful creation God ever created. And I believe that because I've seen the majority of it. But it's not God's choice. More preachers have come from this area of Tennessee and Western North Carolina in a 50-mile radius of where I stand tonight. More preachers have come from this area than any other single area in America. But it's not God's chosen land. Israel is God's chosen land. Jerusalem is God's chosen city. Glory. And God will not allow it to stay waste. Our last president done something remarkable. He kept a promise. He said He would move the capital of Israel back to Jerusalem. And he did so. Hello? Look up here. Let me tell you something. That's another reason they hate him so much. Because he did something all these other presidents had promised they were going to do and forgot when they got to the throne and didn't do it. But he did it. And that means that prophecy has been fulfilled. Now, why do you think this outfit hates him? Let me just make it real simple for you. The end is near, and they know that that is a picture of the end being near. It's about over, and that outfit's going to hell in the wastebasket. God chose Israel, and God chose Jerusalem. You wonder why he chose Jerusalem? Let me just give you this, and we'll finish tonight. Bethlehem is not the most famous city in Israel. It's not God's chosen city in Israel. Wonder why? Christ was born there. God sent his darling son, and there, in that city, he was birthed. Not in Jerusalem, but in Bethlehem. You'd think God would have chosen Bethlehem, but no, he chose Jerusalem. Jerusalem's a beautiful city. I remember in our first tour to Jerusalem, our motel was on the Mount of Olives, right straight across from the Eastern Gate. Well, if you can't shout about that, waking up every morning and looking out the window, and there you see the Eastern Gate of Jerusalem, that golden wall. The way the sun hits those stones, they look golden. And just behind those golden stones is a monument to hell, an Arab mosque with its golden dome sitting in the place where the temple was. Why would God choose Jerusalem and allow a mosque to be put there? You know what that does to the Jew? That slaps that Jew in the face every time he looks at that mosque. Why? Because they deserted the God who had chosen them. And every day they're reminded that they've sinned against God, because here is a monument to Satan in God's chosen city. But it's going away. It's going away. Because there's a temple to be built. I didn't see Solomon's temple. I only seen some stones from Solomon's temple. You've never seen Solomon's temple. There are no photographs of Solomon's temple. But when you read the description of the temple, you just have to wait a few minutes for it to digest before you can go on. Billions and billions of dollars, cost-wise, measured by our time, were spent to build that temple, sitting on the hill of Zion, sitting where all of Jerusalem can look and see the temple. Now, Satan's temple is there, but it's going away. It's a good title for what I'm talking about tonight. It's going away. It's going away. And something much greater is going to be there. Another temple that will outshine Solomon's temple. Another temple where the Lord Jesus Christ will rule from. Bryson, come to the last text I put on there. We won't have time for the others. Really don't have time for this, but I want to give you this. And it shall come to pass that in that day, that the light shall not be clear nor dark. Means that it will be a cloudy day. The sun will be shaded by the clouds. But it will be one day that shall be known to the Lord, not day nor night. But it shall come to pass that at evening time it shall be light. And it shall be in that day that living waters. Are you listening to what I'm saying? That living waters shall go out from Jerusalem, half toward the former sea, and half toward the hinder sea. In summer and in winter shall it be. half of it flows toward the Mediterranean, and half of it flows toward the Dead Sea. Now, what does that mean? There's not a river that flows out of Jerusalem now. There's a brook, just a brook, that flows by. No river. But the day is going to come, and the rest of the text will tell us this, but the day is going to come when Jesus Christ will set his feet on the Mount of Olives. Where'd he leave? From the Mount of Olives. He's going to come back and set his feet on the Mount of Olives, just in front of the wall, the eastern wall of Jerusalem. And that mountain is going to part, one part from the other. And a river is going to begin to flow from Jerusalem, part of it going east and part of it going west. But it's going to water the land. I've told you right now, the River Jordan is just a little branch by the time it gets down to the Dead Sea. And the Dead Sea is drying up, by the way. The last time we were there, it was probably, at least a quarter of a mile, maybe further than that, maybe more so a half mile from where it was. I'm talking about the water level from where it was when we were there in days gone by. So the Dead Sea's drying up because the Jordan River is being used to irrigate the land, and the farms are producing unreal. But today's coming when a new river will appear. A river of life, a river that brings life back to Israel, because the mountain splits. Part of it goes one way, part of it goes the other, and a river comes out of that split and goes one east, one west, to bring the land alive. Now, when he left here, there was only a promise left us. Can any of you remember what the promise was? The angel said, he shall come back in like manner. And the text tells us otherwise, that he'll come in the clouds of glory, come with his saints. The book of Revelation says he'll be riding a white horse, and all the armies of heaven will be behind him, riding white horses. He's coming in like manner. Amen. Things are going to be different when he comes this time, though. Amen. Now, let me do this quickly. When he comes this time, he doesn't come as a babe. And when he comes this time, he doesn't come to Bethlehem. When he comes this time, he comes to Jerusalem. And when he comes this time, he comes as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Wonder why he wouldn't come to D.C., Washington, D.C. How about Atlanta? No, no, no. How about Bristol? Oh, no. No. But he comes to Jerusalem, and he sets his feet down where he left out. And this time, the nations bow before him. Because this time he comes as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Let's stand together. My Heavenly Father, what a promise, what a blessing, what a joy to know that this is so.